You guys have got to understand, you've got to get it together. I look and I say, why can't you get it together and keep it together? We're looking for something here. Nice. I just want to read you one little part of it. It's a prophetic word by Bill Yout. You might have read it today. It's not coming on the Elijah list. It's about why your prayers aren't being answered. They're not getting to heaven, that's why. Yeah, I'm going to teach on tonight five clear signs of witchcraft is attacking you. And one thing that I put three or four different people's stuff together. This one person said, when witchcraft is particularly heavy in the spiritual climate, my eyes actually burn. And that happens to me, and I was thinking here it was allergies. And it isn't that at all. Oh, right here it is. That's it. Scrolling down there. Now, let's stop there and see. Let me see. Okay, he says, why your prayers aren't being answered. He said, many prayers weren't making it to heaven. All right? Just stand there, Chris. As huge bundles of prayer requests came through the front door on the way to their throne room, I was appalled by how many requests were being stopped and never made it to the throne room for answers. I heard a voice that shook me. An angelic postmaster general proclaimed, these prayer requests have no postage on them. And it was stamped return to sender. In the spirit, I saw these huge bundles of prayer requests like letters that had no postage stamps on them. These could go no further. The ones I did see going on into the throne room to be answered had a postage stamp of thanksgiving on them. These ones became priority mail. Inside the throne room, and immediate confirmation of peace was sent to the sender with the following verse. Philippians 4:7, in the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, before the answers of these prayers were manifested on the earth, the people that sent the requests with thanksgiving were receiving the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen because of the peace of God they were receiving through giving of thanks. There can't be thanksgiving until there's believing. Now, the Lord seemed to say, tell my people that many have already prayed and filled heaven with their prayers for the lost and their loved ones. They actually need to stop praying and simply believe me to save them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Many are carrying a false responsibility, feeling that they are responsible to get their family members saved. How many times have I told you that? May I remind you that you could not save your own self, and therefore you cannot save anybody else. And since I saved you, I can save anybody. So, and the gist of this whole prophetic word is, you have to give God you have to pray. Give it to God, believe it, give it to God, and then thank Him for the answer, then walk away from it. Quit praying. That's okay. Quit. You can read it on the Elijah list if you really want to read the whole thing. But when you pray, the answer is going up, but it's never reaching the throne room of grace because you're never thanking God for the answer. You're never believing God for the answer is what this prophetic word says. So if you really want to see an answer to your prayer, pray, then thank Him that He's heard the prayer and He's already sending the request, the answer back to you, and then drop it. Because we're praying over and over and over again, and we're never thanking Him for anything. We're just wondering why it's so cold up here. Turn the air conditioner off, please. and then we're wondering why we're not receiving an answer. It's because we're not believing that God even gets it, and He doesn't. Because you haven't sent it properly, all right? I thought that was interesting when I read that. And I'm just wondering how many people you're still sitting there praying and crying and boo-hooing and jumping up and down, and it's not doing you any good because you aren't doing it right. Just give it to God. Just give it to God and let Him take care of it. How many times have He told you, you need just give it to God, don't quit looking at your circumstances, give it to God and walk away because you can't work for me as long as you're so caught up in your circumstances. How many times have He told us that? Come on now. So let's quit getting caught up in our circumstances and let's just go ahead and give it to God one final time. Do it right now. Give it to God and then let it go. And don't pick it back up again. We have a mighty works to do for the Lord and we can't do it because we're still looking at our circumstances. We're still boohooing about what God made us go through to get where we're at today. Come on. You've already been there, done that. It's all over. It can't be changed, you know. So and God's saying, strip yourself from false beliefs. You have a false idea of what you're doing and what God's doing. Strip yourself of that. Say, God, I'm just stupid. And you're full of all knowledge. And I just give it to you and I'm just leaving it at the altar because I sure can't do anything about it. And all you've done really thus far is messed it up, right? Come on. You know, when I told you to give it to God and leave it, that's what I did with my family. You know what? Things are starting to turn around. My family's starting to get their head out of the sand, and they're starting to see what's right and what's wrong, and I can see God moving in a mighty way within my family. Well, tonight I'm going to teach on five clear signs witchcraft is attacking you. And I think as we go through this tonight, it'll answer some of your questions like it did mine, and you'll understand what's really going on in your life. And then you'll be able to go on with your life. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. I'm asking right now, God, I first of all want you to just give the people that came out tonight to sit at your table to receive fresh manna from heaven. I'm asking that you give them a special blessing tonight, Father. And now, Father God, I'm asking you to open up their spiritual ears. Open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual understanding. And Father God, tonight, let them receive what you say. Let them receive this seed that's being dropped deep within their spirit, man. Father God, you just dropped this into my spirit at this given time because this is a time you want to set us free of the mess that's going on around about us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to witchcraft season. Didn't God tell us that the Jezebels have come back into the church again? All right? Jezebels is witchcraft. This is a time of year when people start attacking and accusing you for no reason. Rebelling against authority and otherwise walking in the flesh. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Don't bow to the intimidation and manipulation. And by all means, don't tap into it. This is that Jennifer, the lady from Charisma. She said, I'll be writing more about this next week. I believe witchcraft is one of the powers in the hierarchy of demons Paul listed in Ephesians 6:12. Just as the Holy Spirit is the power of God, witchcraft is the power of the enemy. Just as the Holy Spirit is the power of God, witchcraft is the power of the enemy. Webster Dictionary defines witchcraft as an irresistible influence or fascination. And the Bible warns us not to be bewitched in Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Now, you people in this church, you need to quit. The minute somebody walks into this church and they smile at you a certain way, and I'm not talking about lust, you know, or say certain things, you gravitate toward them and you just think they're all godly. You need to stop that. And you need to gravitate toward God and stay gravitated towards God. You think somebody walks in here and you think they're so spiritual and just this, I don't, they might have done spiritual things one time in their life, but does that mean they're still spiritual? You don't even check out the fruit or nothing, or you even don't even notice it's rotten fruit. And it's because you want to gravitate towards somebody. And the only person you should be gravitating toward is God himself. Obviously, there is a spiritual force that the Bible is warning us about. It causes us to take leave of our senses. We're talking about witchcraft here. Witchcraft releases strong confusion against our minds so that Jesus is not the clear focus of our lives. Once that happens, we are more vulnerable to the vain imaginations the enemy whispers to our souls. We have a responsibility to know about this spiritual wickedness and guard ourselves against it. With that said, here are 8 signs that you are under a witchcraft attack right now. Number 1, confusion. Witchcraft makes you question yourself, question your friends, question your leaders, question God. When witchcraft attacks, it's difficult to make sound decisions. You may forget your keys, forget important appointments, or even forget what the word says. And I even forget what day it is when I'm under witchcraft. And I really do. I'll say, what day is today? You know? When strong confusion hits your mind, you can be sure it's not coming from God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 14:33. Number 2, trouble paying attention. When witchcraft attacks, it can feel like your mind is scrambled like an egg. You have trouble staying focused on the task at hand. Your mind wanders to and fro. How many of you sit down to put together a lesson or a teaching or read your word, and all of a sudden your mind goes in 10,000 different directions? And I don't know about you, but I read the same thing over and over and over again, and I don't even know what I read the first time, let alone over and over and over again. And I have to get up and get away from it, get my thoughts together, and come back. You just can't keep a train of thought or pay attention to what you're hearing or reading. It can be difficult to hear from God and discern the devil. Sometimes it seems like our prayers hit a bronze ceiling and fall back down to the earth again. Now, she says, this is what Jennifer says, and she said this because she lives in Florida, and she said where she lives at in Florida, they say that the ceiling is bronze because there's so much demonic activity brought in from different places into that area of Florida that it's just a demonic bronze ceiling there all the time. Sometimes it seems like our prayers hit a bronze ceiling and fall back down to the earth again. But I do that. I feel that way too, don't you? Do you ever feel like you prayed and it hadn't gone nowhere? I've thanked God. I've done everything I know to do, and it still feels like that. Of course, we know that's not true because God hears the prayers of the righteous in Proverbs 15:8. But prayer often feels like a heated battle when you are in a tight spiritual climate with strongholds like witchcraft and Jezebel. Sometimes you don't even feel like praying. You know? We must walk in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, and as I was studying, you know, because I looked at quite a few different people teaching on this, and I thought how dumb. I was here one night and I would minister, you know, and then I would sit down and God had done the altar work. And then he said, witchcraft spirit is in here tonight. So I said, guys, somebody in here has a witchcraft spirit bothering you. And I'm thinking, well, I was one of the guys, all right? Come on. We always think it's for somebody else, but you have to, when you read what goes on through witchcraft, you realize, oh, I was being attacked too, right? Number 3, wanting to hide in your cave. She says, I like my cave. I like being alone with God, but when I feel tempted to hide in my cave rather than face the world, when I feel like David when he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest in Psalm 55:6, I know I'm under attack. I'm bringing this out tonight because God told me to begin with, but we need all to understand that we are under a terrible witchcraft attack. And that might be the test that God said we're going to have unprecedented way. When Jezebel sent a messenger of fear with a word curse threatening Elijah's life, he ran scared and left his servant behind, sat in a cave and wished he was dead. That's a witchcraft attack, and that's in 1 Kings 19:9. Number 4, forgetting who you really are. You are a child of the king. You have to always remember that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Everything you put your hand to prospers. You have to always remember this, because that witchcraft spirit will make you believe that none of this is true. That's your legal position. But when witchcraft attacks, you feel like a worthless worm. You forget who you are in Christ, having little to no interest in the word, church, praise, worship, or the like, you may feel guilt, condemnation, or self-pity when you're under this attack. Number five, discouraged, depressed, and ready to quit. We all get discouraged from time to time, but when witchcraft attacks, you may just want to throw in the towel, send your resignation letter to God, quit, give up, cozy up in bed, and pull the covers over your head. Haven't we all felt like that at times? The devil comes to wear you out, Daniel 7:25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. God, I said, okay, God, so you've given us into the enemy's hand. How was it say? For a time and times and half a time. You understand this, saints? I think this is very valuable right at this point, because we are definitely under the witchcraft attack. Yet the Bible commands us not to grow weary in well-doing. Wonderful God. Let us be attacked. And then he says, don't grow weary in well-doing. And promises we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up in Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. How many of you have been really fighting not to lose heart lately? You know, because it's intense, guys. This witchcraft attack is really intense. There's the tension, but let's be clear. The devil is trying to steal your harvest. Don't let him. When it comes to witchcraft, we have to withstand it. The Amplified Bible says to in 1 Peter 5:9, be firm in faith. Against this onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. We're supposed to be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. I'm going to do like Astra does. It's easy enough to give in to witchcraft, especially if you don't know what is attacking you. So again, when you feel like giving up, when you feel tired for no reason, when you have strong confusion, when you're fighting an intense battle in your mind, and when infirmities are manifesting, it could be witchcraft. I just said to my husband the other day, I can't believe how tired I am. I do a little bit of housework, and I'm wore out, and I have to keep pushing myself to get it done. A witchcraft attack. And not understanding what I'm going through. But I told him, I said, this is demonic. This is straight from the pits of hell. I know it is. And I've been praying against it and fighting against it. Resist it at its onset. If you don't know what's going on, no, you can't resist it, can you? Cast it off. Submit yourself to God. And James 4:7 says, resist this devil. Stand firm against him and he will flee from you. And he does. Believe me, he does, because I've been fighting this witchcraft now for quite a few years. And he does go, but I mean to tell you, he just wears you out. And you have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And you have to have a determination in your heart that you're going to keep going no matter what. And you're going to just keep fighting him until he leaves. Again, submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ. Exalt his name. Thank him for his blood. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise and worship carry breakthrough. Okay, rejoice in the Lord, period. Praise and worship carry breakthrough. That's often all it takes to change a spiritual climate in your home. And worship is where we should start, because he is worthy of our adoration. Why do you think that God told us to be praising him in the fast songs, dancing and singing and rejoicing? He knew this hour of witchcraft attack was coming upon the church, and he wanted us to be prepared to fight. And you're like tonight when finally Brother Allen stomped, and I knew he meant business tonight. And I thought, there he is, he's back. Thank God. You know, and you see, we all have to come back. We all have to get up off the ground and fight the devil. I was going to say on his territory, and we do. We have to go into the pits of hell, and we have to fight him and defeat him and let him know that we are not afraid to go into his territory. If worship doesn't break the witchcraft, take authority over it in the name above all names. Witchcraft has to bow at the name of Jesus, but make sure you don't have any common ground with the enemy. Repent for any rebellion in your heart and surrender your will anew to God. Remember, we are more than conquerors in Christ, and no weapon formed against us can prosper, not even witchcraft. Now, this here is somebody else saying this, and Jennifer had said she's been under such a strong attack that she's really had to fight really hard. And now, this is another gentleman, I think his name was Jonas something. Our job is to be spiritually discerning enough to catch the devil at his onset, resist him, rebuke him, and praise God for the victory. How many of you know that you've been under a terrible witchcraft attack? If you're like me, you've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. Well, we have to keep on fighting. We have to, you know, we even have to join together in one mind and one accord and come against this Jezebel witchcraft. We can't do it alone. In my house, I'm so sick and tired of this, and I scream it. I'm so sick and tired of this devil. I'm tired of living with the devil. My house is not the house of the devil. It's the house of God. You know, and then here he comes, boom, back again through somebody else. He works through people. And, you know, it's an ongoing thing right now. And, Jade, I think you ought to act like you're more concerned about God than what you are right now. So sit up. Act like you're interested. Even if you're not, thank you. You have a beautiful voice, but it's not going to do anything if you don't enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. Come on. We all need to understand that we might be so talented, but if we let the enemy push us down and we don't fight to get back up, our gifting is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Here are a few questions to help you identify if witchcraft was released at you. These will help you start thinking. And you know, it's just like, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, whenever I got up, when I got awake, my guts were being ripped out of me. And whenever I had gained 20 pounds by the time I got out of bed, so much pain, I just said to Larry, I said, I don't know what this is all about. And then a week later, 20 more pounds. Trying to get it off is obsolete right now. It won't come off. That was witchcraft. That was somebody praying me heavy. I know where it came from. Jealousy had set in. And I know that they have authority in the witchcraft world because they prayed something over my body once before and made me break my ribs. But, you know, it's real. It's real. You're a child of God, but it's real. And we have to understand what we're fighting in this hour, and we have to fight like we've never fought before. All right, I said, here are a few questions to help you identify if witchcraft was released at you. These will help you start thinking. When you are in prayer, do you get sick or have headaches? Have you ever gotten ill after a confrontation with someone who was spiritually contending with you? And how many times, Brother Chris, have I said to you that I got literally sick after I confronted them? Do you feel tired when you shouldn't? Are your emotions on a roller coaster? Do you suffer from depression? Have you experienced spiritual retaliations against you? Have you experienced spiritual retaliations against you? Are you having a lot of warfare in your mind? These are all things that indicate that you're under witchcraft. Soul ties. Witchcraft uses soul ties to control its victims. Have you ever heard the word soul ties? Well, that's what witchcraft wants to create with its victim. If your emotions can be hooked, then they can gain a soul tie with you. And I know that I'm working under a soul tie with Gabriel's mom. You know, because my emotions were hooked. And I'm fighting that like you wouldn't believe. I can hear her. I hear her thoughts. I know complete conversations that she's going through. And I know how she's cursed me. You know, it's a soul tie. If they can form a soul tie with you, then they can control you. Are you listening here? Parents can control their children. Can control you through their children with soul ties. All abnormal soul ties need to be broken by the power of the name of Jesus. There are natural soul ties and abnormal soul ties. A natural soul tie could be formed if you were involved in a plane crash, landed on a remote island with several survivors, and helped each other endure. You know, when you help somebody, you do get a soul tie. You're concerned about them. I'm concerned about everybody in this church. Like I told Jacqueline, I missed you this morning. See, there's a soul tie there. It's a good soul tie. And I'm concerned about her walk with God. The result of that accident could lead to a positive emotional bonding with the others. There's a healthy bonding because everybody successfully went through a great trial together. See, this church, we should have a healthy bonding because we're going through the same trials and tribulations together. And we're praying for one another. We love each other. We're concerned about one another. That's a healthy soul tie. When you have sexual relations with someone, there is a soul tie, emotional bonding that generates because two fleshes became one. In Genesis, you can read that in Genesis 2:24. Sexual relations in marriage generate a healthy soul tie, while sexual relations outside of marriage create unhealthy soul ties. I know of times when people have lost their children through some unfortunate accident. Just being there with them has formed an emotional soul tie. In essence, there are some good soul ties that bring stability into a person's life to help get them through something. Then there are soul ties used solely for the purpose of manipulation, control, and selfish gain. Take a look at these questions. Have you ever been emotionally bonded with someone who used that bonding to control or manipulate you? Have you met the person who tries to make himself or herself look important through the use of other people's reputations? Do you feel like you can't make personal decisions without asking this person first? That's an important one. Do you know anyone who insinuates they are part of an organization through name dropping? Spiritual witchcraft attacks drain the life out of you. I already mentioned confusion, but this one is just as bad. Witchcraft attacks drain strength and energy. Fatigue is often experienced during a witchcraft attack. Witchcraft attacks drain the life right out of you. I know that the majority of all of you in here, if you're honest, you can relate to everything that I'm saying here tonight. And we're under a witchcraft attack. Jezebel brings in the witchcraft. When attacked, you feel tired, depressed, oppressed, and fatigued. Now, Brett, don't use that excuse why you don't get out of bed in the morning. You can take vitamins, exercise, run 5 miles, and it still doesn't help. Have you noticed how many people go to work tired all the time? They have 3 cups of coffee in the morning just to begin work. Could some of them be suffering from a witchcraft assignment? I really do believe, saints, with all my heart, that Satan has assigned witchcraft to this church. I really do believe the assignment is to hit every one of us in here tonight. And I really know that we've been praying and fighting against it, but this is a strong force of evil. God said it was unprecedented, right? It's a strong force of evil that's really trying to wear us totally and completely out. It's trying to destroy what God is doing here in this church. And it's not going to stop on its own. It's going to take us praying and praying, and I'm hearing God say fasting and fasting, and joining together in total unity to destroy the spirit of witchcraft. A final word. This is a time of year when people start attacking and accusing you for no reason, rebelling against authority, and otherwise walking in the flesh. We all need to be careful about tapping into spiritual witchcraft and releasing word curses against others and ourselves. And how many of you can say that you're a child of God? You know you're a child of God. You're full of love and grace, you know, and you have compassion. But all of a sudden, you just blow up like a steam boiler for no reason whatsoever. Somebody says one word, and that's just the word that messes you up. That's witchcraft. The enemy has pressed you and pressed you and pressed you, and then he'll use a person to say something to make the final blow. Then he has you in his grips. Now we're going to have to really fight through this thing like never before. I thought this would take longer, but I had some other things that I was going to bring out and didn't bring them. we have to be very concerned and watchful of the people that come into the church, because not everybody that comes into the church and professes Jesus Christ as Lord is of God. And you have to be careful of people who walk into your life, because they can say they're of God and they're not of God. And they bring witchcraft with them. And they'll do these soul ties that I talked about. And you'll think, you know, they're just so wonderful and so neat. And, you know, you'll feel secure with them. And the next thing you know, they've bonded with you with a soul tie. And no lust, no perversion. I'm just saying friendship type thing. And the next thing you know, they're working witchcraft on you. God has said that witchcraft is very prevalent in the body of Christ right now. See, God's saying that darkness is cloaked with evil. And people come in like they are light, and they're not. They are darkness. And they're on assignment to destroy you. They're on assignment to break down the light that's in you. You can't run from this. You can't be afraid of this. You can't hide from it. You can't stick your head in the sand and say it doesn't exist, because it truly does exist. Now, you know, whenever you gave your heart to God, you know, when you became born again, because I've always gone to church, but in 77 I was born again. And, you know, when you get into the born-again stage, then you are prime target for the enemy. He's going to fight you, and he's going to fight you, and he's going to fight you. And you know, when this witchcraft comes and it causes the depression and it causes the mind to go crazy and everything else, then he uses you to turn against those who love you and those you love. And because then he can use you to, he turns you against those who love you and the ones you love, then he can really wreak a lot of havoc in your life and in their life. There's many people come through these doors that, you know, I love everybody. And I bond with people. And then when Satan sees that I'm really bonded with a person and that bonding can cause them to really grow, then Satan will bring the witchcraft on them and mess them up. And then he'll use that person to come against me. And you know, this happens to everybody. But I'm just using me because I know what goes on with me. And then he just starts his little party. And little by little by little, He'll kill, steal, and destroy. And so God wanted me to know that it's witchcraft that's at work. It's not the people. It's witchcraft. And we have to learn about witchcraft so we can fight it. And not only fight it, but win. We have to win this war of witchcraft that we're fighting against. He goes into marriages. And if somebody's messed up in that marriage, he'll take that messed up part of you and he'll twist and turn things and make you turn against your spouse. He uses witchcraft to turn you against your spouse, and then he makes you believe all kind of evil things. And we have to be very careful of this. We have to understand that it's the enemy at work. But we always forget that it's not the flesh and blood we're working with, right? We forget that, and so we fight with the flesh and blood, and really it's principalities and powers on high. It's the enemy that we're fighting. And because your spouse is messed up in some areas of their life, they have a crack, you might have a door that the enemy can come through and try to destroy you. And in the process of destroying you, they destroy themselves. You know, the enemy destroys the person he's working through. So instead of us jumping to conclusions and believing everything, I think I had this in there where we believe the evil report, or maybe that was in what else I had. We believe the evil report. We have to quit believing the evil report about a person. And we have to believe what God is saying about them. And we have to trust God. And see, I'm hearing God say, at this point, when witchcraft has gotten in this far, then he starts twisting and turning things, and you won't even believe the truth at this point. because he has your mind blinded and you'll believe the lie about the people. Are you understanding this tonight? I don't want to confuse you. And if he can get you believing a lie, let's just talk about married people right now. If he can get you believing a lie, then he can break your marriage up. Then after it's broke up, you'll say, oh my God, what have I done? What you did was, listen, you, witchcraft came in working against you, and you believed the lie and operated through the lie. Instead of saying, no, I'm not going to believe that, devil. I'm going to believe what God has said, and I'm not going to allow you to use me as a vessel to destroy another person's life. All right? You know, there's enough evil going on in the world and in the church that we don't have to let the, that we shouldn't let the enemy conjure up more evil in our mind and then use us to spread that evil. Right? Now, you remember the other day I said, don't spray in here before I preach because it's make my eyes burn. I couldn't even hardly see. That wasn't nothing you sprayed, because I spray the same stuff in my house. What it was a witchcraft was that prevalent in the atmosphere that it was, my eyes were burning. See, I'm glad I read that article, and now I understand, okay, because my eyes only burn at certain times. If you have allergies in your eyes, which I always blamed it on, or dry eye that the doctor says I have, then that would be there all the time, but it's just certain times that it happens. And we have to start, I want all you guys to start checking yourself when things come, when different things hit you. Why is this happening? Is this God or is this witchcraft working against me? Has Jezebel brought her witchcraft into my life and is attacking me? If we don't understand the evil that's in the body of Christ, then we're going to be taken out. And the evil in the body of Christ is the enemy working through somebody to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm hearing God say that the witchcraft is always total destruction. That's how you can tell if it's witchcraft. It's total destruction. All right, so like with this weight, that's total destruction, right? I've been thin all my life, and then all of a sudden, overnight, gained 20 pounds. The doctor said that wasn't true. And I said, well, yes, it is. You know, my husband said, anybody that knows me would tell that. That's demonic. That is a demonic attack. And see, because I knew it was demonic, and I keep praying against it, but I evidently not praying right because it keeps attacking me. So now my job is to get before God and see what is the proper way to pray against this attack. So that now the enemy won't have any more ground. And God keeps telling me, you're going to lose weight. He shows Sister Nancy me thin again, wearing high heels. And so there's somewhere along the line, I've got to find the truth, how to pray in, you know, the truth and set myself free. And this is what each one of you have to do. You have to pray, seek God's face. And if you think you're not going to hear God right, say, God, please confirm it through somebody else. I do that a lot of times. Confirm it through somebody else because I don't want to be deceived. And you know, and I know God's voice. But still not when you're all messed up and your mind's all messed up, you need a confirmation when this witchcraft stuff starts working on your behalf. And I told you that people who come into this church have to be really strong, because how we walk in the Spirit and because we do have the deliverance school, you're going to have to be strong so that you can fight through these attacks. But you, why not go ahead and stay and fight through the attacks? Because if you go to a church where nothing's going on, you're going to stay bound all your life, never going to be free to really serve God the way God wants. You'll never carry out your assignment. I know Sister Grace is attacked constantly. And I can imagine sometimes she wants to give up. But she still plugs in there. She says, help, 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 you know. And when you're drowning, you have to cry out for help. So what are you going to do? Are you going to give in to the devil, let him use his witchcraft on you and make you step back and just be nothing? Or are you going to say, no, devil, I'm in the army and I'm going to fight. Astrid, you survived the army, right?
Yes.
then you can survive this too, can't you?
I will survive.
Yes, see? If she survived what happened to her, you know, in the army, she can survive anything. And this is why God's brought her here, because she is a survivor. And he needs survivors in this end time army that he has. Look at your lives. What have you gone through up to this point? And you're still alive. Sometimes you think barely, but you're still alive. Now, you know, when I get up to preach, if you notice, I get short-winded. I don't do that at home. And like Saturday when I was preaching, I got really short-winded. And I said, devil, you're not doing this to me. Because that, you know, that was an attack of the enemy. And I'm quite sure it's a witchcraft attack against me. Because I have no reason to be short-winded. And if you're short-winded, you have a hard time talking. I'm not short-winded at home when he gets me mad at my kids and I scream. I have plenty of wind, right? So I have wind then to preach the word, right? See, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about what I do at home because I'm not affecting anybody but my home. But when I'm in the pulpit, and then he can make me short-winded, and I can't give the word forth. It's just a full-blown witchcraft attack. And I'm going to tell you right now, people carry demons in them that God keeps around you so he can keep attacking you through that person. So you have to know that too. And now you don't throw the person out. You bind the spirits that's working in the person, right? And so this happens too. Satan will place people around you that are his vessel. And Jacqueline, don't get under condemnation. And he'll put people around you that he can work through to destroy you. Are you listening here now? So we still love the person, but we hate the spirit that's working through them. They have not invited the spirit into their being, as we now well know from deliverance. You guys do exorcism, but when I was doing deliverances, it wasn't their fault that the spirits were there. It was what the parents did. So we don't blame the person. But there comes a point you slap that person up alongside the head and say, quit allowing the enemy to use you to bring this division and this junk into the home. All right? There does come a time when that person has to, just like, was it Elaine in that, whose book was that? Rebecca Brown. Rebecca Brown said, you're the reason why we're going through all this stuff. You're carrying those spirits. So you get outside until you get rid of them. And if you don't get rid of them, don't come back in. So she finally come back in and she said, okay, I won't allow them to work through me. She got rid of the spirits. She was always sickly and died, but at least they weren't under those attacks all the time. But it was because she had those spirits in her and wouldn't let go of them because she enjoyed them, that they went through all the hell that they went through. Now, if you have somebody around you that continually carries that spirit and they enjoy what that spirit does to you, then you need to tell them, hey, you need to get rid of it or take a hike. I don't care which one you do, but I'm not going to live under this demonic attack that keeps coming from you. We don't, you know, we want to see everybody go to heaven, but we also know the Word of God says they won't. And so we keep putting up with it and putting up with it and putting up with it till one time God says, okay, enough is enough. And then you'll know when it's God saying that because you'll just shoot your mouth up and you won't put up with it no more because God's had enough. And so he has to work through a vessel. And so he'll use you to say enough is enough. Everything that happens in your life like that is witchcraft. And if as long as you don't know how to pray, you know, as long as you don't understand about witchcraft and that it's working on you, you won't know how to pray and he'll just have full and total and complete rule and reign in your life. So tonight, I want you to understand the body of Christ is under a huge witchcraft attack. And its job is to kill, steal, and destroy. Its job is to stop you in your tracks. You'll never reach your destiny as long as that witchcraft is at work in your life. You have to pray against it. And you know, and Jennifer says, and so did two other men that I read, they say that if you learn to praise, and hasn't God been telling us we need to praise? You're not just in church, but in our homes. If you praise, praise should stop the witchcraft attacks. You're the blood of Jesus, you plead that, and you do everything else, but they say they're under a witchcraft attack all the time, but they say it seems like praise is what causes it to stop. So I'm just encouraging each one of you in here tonight to start praising the Lord. When you know you're under attack, just start singing and jumping and stomping, and God told you, you stomp, you'll tear down the enemy's camp. So whatever it is, do it. Do it until that thing breaks. Don't carry it around and don't be concerned about how long do I have to do this. Do it as long as you have to do it. But let it. Why do we sit around and just, we know we're under demonic attack and we just sit around, get out of here, devil. I don't have to put up with you, you know. I have the blood of Jesus that's more powerful than you. And this is what we, just like that. Why don't you get up and stomp your feet and scream and say, enough is enough. Now get out. You know, it doesn't matter what your kids think, what the neighbors think, what your husband and wife thinks. Do it and set yourself free. Set yourself free. I've been doing that a lot here in the last past week. And little Isaiah, he really doesn't like the screaming. That bothers him. And he'll say, no, be quiet, be quiet. But I don't care what he says, because when he feels like screaming, he screams, right? And I tell him, be quiet, and he doesn't listen to me. So I just keep right on till I feel the release. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being bound down. I'm tired of feeling the heaviness. And I'm tired of feeling the fatigue, you know, and the depression. I'm really tired of it. And so I've been crying out to God. Then God gave me Jennifer wrote this article, 5 Clear Signs Witchcraft is Attacking You. I guess there's 8 because she said there's 8 in this series. But then I read some things that men wrote, and I should have brought them, but they're really interesting. And so since God put these things out there right now, and drew my attention to, I mean, I know it's been out there, but he drew my attention to it right now. Right now is when we need to start fighting against witchcraft. And you know, and with your 6, 7 girls, whatever you got, they carry witchcraft. And that brings a heaviness in the church. And you two are going to have to break that heaviness that your girls carry. You know, and they don't know they're carrying it. But they're carrying it. And see, now in my house, I know where it's coming from. And so what I do is I bind those powers and principalities. I don't bind the people, but I bind the power and the authority that enemy has to work through them. And it's ongoing. It's it never ceases. It's going on and on. And the enemy's trying to wear me down and cause me to have a mental breakdown, to tell you the truth. And the other day, I just screamed at the top of my lungs, I will not allow you to do this anymore. And it broke. It stopped. It's up to us to free ourselves up. It's up to us to take power and authority over these things. And, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus. I wrap them in and wrap everything in the blood of Jesus. I take a hat. What do you call those things? Those big bedspreads. I forgot what it's called now. And I just plead the blood of Jesus all through that thing. I pour the blood of Jesus all through the thing, and I wrap myself in that thing because the blanket wasn't doing it. Amen. I was wrapping myself in a blanket of blood, and it just was not breaking it. I get desperate, and I'll do anything. Use all the power of heaven to set myself free, because these attacks are non-stopping. I really shouldn't even be standing here now. I should be in some nut house somewhere with the attacks. And some of you probably can say the very same thing with attacks that you're under, because the enemy is trying to stop God's true children. He knows that if we stay here until the glory drops, he's done. And so he's after you with everything he can. He stole everything you had. You ought to be so mad at him, you put on your kicking boots and kick his teeth out every day. Come on. Them steel-toed shoes is what I'm thinking about, right? So everybody, he stole about everything he still has, hasn't he? You hope he has anyhow, right? because you know, you don't want to have anything else that he wants, right? So are you understanding this tonight, that you're in a battle? God said it's unprecedented. And only you can break it. Only you can defeat that enemy in your situation. Only you. We can all join together in unity and pray for you. But you're going to have to do the fighting for yourself. We'll back you up in prayer, but you're going to have to keep fighting until that thing's broken. Are you really a fighter? You thought you were, but now you're being tested. How much of a fighter are you really? I wish we was all like Astra, but then I'm thank God we didn't have to go what she went through to be a fighter. But I wish we were all like her and fought like she does. She knows how to fight, and she's not going back. She's been there, and she's not going back there again. See, when you have the easy life, you don't sort of fight too hard. And how hard does your life have to get before you learn to fight? Fight and mean it. Devil, get out of here. He's not going anywhere. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'll kick your teeth down your throat. You're going to get out of here right now and you're going to stay out. In Jesus' name. Come on. You kids have got to do the very same thing. You don't understand what's going to happen to you young kids. You don't understand. And you're going to wish to God that you would have listened to the instructions you've been given whenever it happens to you, because you're not going to like what you have to go through. You know, the ISIS are killing everybody. Torturing them and maiming them. And look what's happened. That young man attacked Christians in the school. You kids don't understand what's coming down the road. And I hope you grown-ups understand what's here. It's not coming, it's here. And I hope that you're ready to fight like you've never fought before. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you. Now we wait before you, Lord, to see what you want to do to your people. God said, I want to endue them with power from on high. I want to give them revelation knowledge of how to defeat this Jezebel of witchcraft. I want to fill them so full of myself that the enemy won't even try to come and harass them in any way, shape, or form. For these are the last days and these are the last hours, and I must have an army totally prepared to fight the onslaught of the enemy that's coming even worse than it is today. You have to be lights that shine in a dark, dark place. You have to be lights that nobody can blow out your candle. You have to be strong and unwavering. You cannot give in even one inch to the enemy. But you have to be strong and fight. Fight, fight, fight. I will give you the strength. I will give you the tenacity. I will give you all the weapons that you need to stand and fight. But you have to determine tonight that you're going to be one that stands and that you're not going to be one that will fall.